Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 31st verse. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. A few years after I attended here at Bethany College, there was a young lady that was in class with my wife. Her name was Jane. Nice young lady, Christian. She ended up getting married to a graduate from Bethany, and they went on to have a family together. When she was in her 30s, she was diagnosed with cancer. And at the time, they were thinking that this cancer would go into remission and that they might be able to cure her of this. Well, it turned out that a few years later, the cancer came back. And this was now when she was in her early 40s. And by this time, they said it was going to be terminal. And they gave her less than a year to live. So she wrote down a number of questions to ask her pastor about death and what happens after death and things like that. And she brought them to her pastor. Now, at the time, she was attending a church, a Lutheran church, that really did not believe and teach that the Bible is the inerrant word of God. That, in other words, that it is a for sure certain truth that is there. They taught what we would call a relative truth. And she sat down with her pastor and asked him these questions, and all of the answers that she got back were kind of wishy-washy, didn't really have much substance to them. And a lot of it was conjecture and, well, we're not totally sure and things like that. And so Jane decided to move her husband and her kids, the entire family, to a church that did believe and teach that the Bible was God's true word. She felt that she needed that confidence. In the text in front of us, Jesus says to us, if you continue or if you abide, that means to live in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus is teaching us that there is such a thing as truth. It can be known. It can be found. We can be said to possess it. We can have it. We can build our lives upon it. Now, that claim in the world that we live in today, in the culture and in the generation that we live in today, that claim sounds preposterous. It sounds ridiculous. It sounds arrogant that anybody would boldly say that they have the truth, that they really know the truth. We live in a world of relativism that wants everything to be left up to whatever you as the individual want. Truth is something that can be decided by how you feel or how you look at life, no matter who you are or what perspective you take. And this problem has even infected Christians. In the early 1990s, the Barna Report did a survey of people who claimed to be Bible-believing Christians, and they found that already by that time, half of them believed that there really was no such thing as truth. Today, those same studies show that that number has grown. It's close to 70% of people who claim to be Bible-believing Christians today do not really believe we can say there is such a thing as actual truth. One of my classmates here from Bethany went on to be a pastor in a church body that does not believe in truth at all. And I was talking to him one day, and I said, especially for you as a pastor, how can you know what to teach people? How do you know what to stand for? And he said to me, "You conservatives, you're always so concerned about truth, truth, truth. There is no such thing as truth. What matters is that we're looking for it." What a bunch of garbage. Back in the 1800s, there was a young student of theology in Germany by the name of Dr. C.F.W. Walther. And Dr. Walther said that even back then, among the professors in Germany, if one of them were to say to his class, "I know the truth, I have found the truth," He says, in Germany, if any professor claims that he has the truth, he's immediately regarded with suspicion. The truth that Jesus is talking about in our text is not relative at all. And it's not just a truth for you. It's not just a truth for Christians. It's not just a truth for the Holy Christian Church. It is truth, real truth. Jesus didn't say, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth that you like, but maybe someone else has a different one. No, you will know the truth, and that will set you free. But we live in a very skeptical, wishy-washy generation. And we're always concerned, well, what do you think? What do I believe? And truth is then founded on everybody's feelings. The word polio probably doesn't mean much to the college students here today and any of the high school students that are visiting us today. Anybody about my age on down has really not had to worry or think much about polio. But you look at the people in here with white hair and talk to them about polio, they're already nodding at me. It's a whole different world for them. Up until the early 1950s, it was a horrible, potentially deadly disease. There were, just in 1952 alone, 58,000 cases of polio in the United States. 3,000 children died. 21,000 were left severely handicapped. Until the development of the vaccine by Dr. Jonas Salk. And he worked with a team of people for 7 years to come up with a cure for polio, a vaccine against polio. And can you imagine the day that he really realized he had it? That he realized they had found it? And can you imagine him coming out of his office and announcing this to people, but then possibly having a moment right before that and thinking, this is going to sound awfully arrogant. This is going to sound like I'm full of myself if I claim that I have found it. Maybe I better hold back on this. Who would have benefited from that? If we truly do have and possess the truth, and it's the only way that people can get to heaven, St. Peter says, salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved besides the name of Jesus Christ. If we truly do have and possess the truth, we better not buckle by thinking, well, that sounds so arrogant of me to profess that. The world needs it. Truth from God is tough. It is firm. It is fibered. And if we teach a flimsy Christianity, we will end up with flimsy Christians who crumble with any question. Martin Luther used to say to pastors, if you depart from Scripture, you will become theological monsters. May God the Holy Spirit give our faith and our confession some guts. May he give us spiritual backbone. May he inject us with confidence, pastors, professors, lay people alike, confidence in this truth and place our hope in it. May he give us the boldness to say to this generation, we have it, we have found it, we know what it is, and it's the only thing that can save us. And living in this truth is where true discipleship is to be found. That same Jane that I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon, that same Jane realized that as she was facing Judgment Day, what everybody else thought around her, and even what her pastor thought, was completely irrelevant. You see, when the moment comes in your life when you really do have to go and stand before God to be led into heaven, what everybody else in your world thinks about and likes and stuff, it really doesn't matter. They're not going to be there standing with you. All that's going to matter at that moment is truth. And the very Savior who gives you that truth and gives you these words is the one who shed his blood to pay for all of your sins. The one who gives you his holy, perfect righteousness to stand dressed in that so God will let you into heaven. The very one who has gone through death for you and risen again gloriously so that you can rise out of your grave someday and be set free from death. He is the one that says to you, stand fast. Let no one take your crown. Not even a pastor. Amen.